All right, take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13. It's hard to believe that it's Friday, the last day. How many of you, you're ready to go home? Oh, not very many hands. How many of you are like, you know, I could stay here a whole nother week? Yeah, a lot of hands. All right, how many of you say, listen, I could stay, but I actually do miss my siblings? A couple of you. All right. How many of you are like, no, I miss the TV? I saw that. How many of you are like, yeah, I miss the refrigerator? All right. How many of you are like, I miss my own bed? Oh, yeah. There we go. How many of you are like, you know what? Honestly, I miss my dog. Yeah, all right, all right. How many of you, I miss my cat? Put your hands down. You do realize that cats came as a result of the fall, right? Okay, okay. In case you didn't, I'm just kidding. All right, how many of you are like, you know what? Honestly, I miss my other friends that didn't get to come. All right. How many of you are like, you know what? Honestly, I really actually miss my video game system. Wow, a lot of hands. Can I help you out? When I became a man, I put away childish things. That was free. All right, Romans chapter 13. I'm going to ask you if you'd stand with me as we read. I have respect for the reading of the Word of God. Romans chapter 13. This morning, let's begin reading in verse number 11. Romans 13, verse number 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. My Father, I thank you for your love for us, and I thank you for what you've done this week. But I'm convinced that you want to continue and do even more. Now, Lord, I recognize that I have no power in me to do that work. But I do claim the power of the Word of God, that it will accomplish that which you please and that which you sent it. Holy Spirit, I pray that you convict and convince. I can do neither. Hide me behind the cross. May these dear young people, my friends, may they not remember me, but the God that I serve. Would you help us this morning, bind the distractions, help us to put our hearts aright on the Word of God, that we may follow you. And I ask this the only way I know how, through the name and through the blood of my Jesus. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. How many of you are early birds? You like to wake up early. Okay, a few of you. How many of you are like, not me? Oh, yeah, a lot of you. That's kind of what I figured. I'm a night owl. And so I can get more done at night when everybody is in bed asleep, and I just seem to fly through everything that I've got to get done late at night. In the morning, I have one little girl and my wife, and they like to get up early, and they get up early, and at that time, there is no hope whatsoever for me to get anything done, because we have one little girl who's two, and JJ, she would just rather be wrapped around my leg while I'm trying to get things done in the morning. So, I just prefer to get it done at night. But there's a problem with that. Because I like to stay up late and get things done, which, by the way, probably isn't the wisest thing to do. It is difficult in my flesh to get up early. You know what I'm talking about? And you know you need to get up. The alarm clock goes off, and you know, okay, it's 5:30, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. I have got to get up. But you know what inside does? The inside says, are you kidding? Don't you know you're at camp? Don't you know that you've stayed up late and gotten up early every single day? Don't you know that you're weary? Come on. Take it easy. And you know what I do? I hit that snooze button. You know what I'm talking about? That danger to all mankind. I saw some alarm clocks recently that just intrigued me. Hey, have you seen the robo vacuums that kind of go around the room and they kind of do their own thing? I saw an alarm clock attached to one of those. And so when it comes in your room to wake you up in the morning, it immediately takes off out of your room. But it gets louder as it gets further away from you so you can still hear it. And the object is you have to get out of bed and catch it to make it stop. I thought, okay, that's annoying. I saw another one that was kind of right up my alley. The alarm clock goes off. You reach over and you grab a toy laser gun. And then you have to hit the target on the alarm clock in the bullseye for the alarm clock to go off. I thought, now that is cool. I saw another one similar to the first one. It was in the shape of a ball, and the alarm clock was inside the ball, and the ball was more like a speaker system, and the ball just went around and round and round the room, kind of like a hamster inside it, and again, you had to catch it. You know, although those things are intriguing, I don't like any of them, honestly, because I think I want to sleep, right? Why would you want to get up early? I mean, some of you, I know, you're thinking, but it's quiet in the morning. Maybe you're thinking, I can be by myself. I don't know. But very, very few people like to wake up. And even those who do like to get up in the morning, if you wake them up at another time when they don't want to be woken up, things can get ugly. When I was in college, I was an RA. And I remember I would be in bed and guys would come to me at all hours of the night and in the morning, especially when they get home from work really late. And at very first, when we would start off the school year, inevitably there'd be this freshman who would come in my room. And he would try to wake me up, but he would not speak to me. He would try to touch me. I can't stand being touched, period, especially when I'm sleeping. And I grab him and about scare the socks off of him. And then I realize what I'm doing and I wake up. So the guys in my dorms, I think almost all 4 years of college, they learned, don't touch him. Just talk to him. He's a light sleeper. He'll wake up instantly. But I don't like waking up. You turn to Romans chapter 13. And when you do, you find a spiritual alarm clock. The alarm clock has gone off. And here he says, it's time to awake. In other words, it sounds like he's saying that God's people are asleep. But God's people need to know that right now it is high time. That means now it's time to awake out of sleep. It says, how do you know you're supposed to wake up? Because you ought to know the time. You know, have you ever woken up just a little bit too late? And you think, oh no, I'm supposed to be there in 5 minutes. Now you ladies, you're like, I got to paint the barn. I'm not going to make it. You guys, hey, some of you did lose your soap like Brother Beal talked about last night. You did lose it on Monday and you don't care about that, all right? You got shower in a can and you think you are good to go, bless your heart. And so you guys, many of you don't even look in the mirror. Now, some of you do. Years ago, I was at a camp, and they had one of these big water slides, you know, kind of like what we have out there and turn into the maze, but it actually was flipped over and had water in it. And they had this water slide, and we had a church counselor, and he came, and he said, I'm going to go down the water slide. Well, his hair was immaculate. I had never seen a guy blow dry his hair before. And he would spend about 40 minutes on his hair, no joke. I mean, every single hair was in place. He had one of these huge comb overs and comb back, and you just looked at it and thought, is that a wig? And he went down the water slide 3 times. When he went down the water slide, he went under the water. when he went under the water and came back up. The third time, you actually saw water beads start to pool on his hair. In other words, his hair didn't move at all. And I think, are you kidding me? If that guy woke up late, he'd have big problems. You know what I'm talking about. It'd be like, who are you? You don't want to wake up late. You don't want to be late. At least you ought not be late. It's a sign of your character. And so here in this passage, you read, Paul says, hey, don't you know what time it is? He says, it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That whole verse there encapsulates this thought. Our salvation, which by the way, salvation is not something I have because I prayed a prayer. Salvation is a person I trusted in complete dependence. I can't get to heaven by myself, but God, when he looks at Jesus, Jesus is enough. I trusted in Jesus, and that's enough for a holy God. So salvation is Jesus. So here's what he's saying. Don't you know what time it is? Jesus is nearer than when you believed. In other words, time is getting short. Young person, nobody knows when time will end except God. But when time ends, that's it. When time ends, if you know God, you will stand before God as your king at something called the judgment seat of Christ. And you will be judged according to your works. You find that in several different places of the Bible, Revelation, Romans. You'll find that you'll be judged for those good and bad works. You say, oh, are those consequences for sin? Sin that is unconfessed. But 1 John 1:9, the sin that has been confessed is forgotten. It's under the blood. And he says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Those that do not know Jesus will one day stand before God at a different judgment seat called the Great White Throne. And yes, they will be judged according to their works as well, but they will be judged and God will look at them as their judge, not their king, and will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You know, it's so easy to sit at camp. It's so easy to sit at home or at church and to think, man, we got all the time in the world. I've got my plans for myself. I know what I'm going to do. I know how I'm going to do it. Man, I've got this all figured out. And here's what Paul says. He is saying, just like James, life is short. Jesus is coming soon. If Jesus is coming soon, and he is, even Paul will write in other passages of the Bible that he's convinced that Jesus would come in his lifetime. By the way, that was a long time ago. So now the writer is saying Jesus' return is closer than it's ever been. And one day we'll stand before him. And here in Romans 13, he says, since time is short, and since Jesus is coming soon, here's what he says. Wake up, sleepy Christian. Stop sleeping. Stop hitting the snooze button. We have work to do for Jesus. You know, it's so easy to just remember heaven or think about heaven and have the idea, wow, that's enough. Now I can go on with life because I know I have eternal life. But that's not how Jesus designed the Christian life. He didn't just design it for heaven. He designed it for life and life more abundantly that we could serve him now. But most of us aren't serving him now. And I don't mean that as a slam. We get so caught up with everything else that we forget time is short and Jesus is coming soon. And here in Romans 13, he says, wake up! Wake up! Notice what he says in the next verse. He's already told us, knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep. Verse number 12, he says this, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Now, can I say this very kindly?
He's saying, get out of your pajamas. Hey, have you been in Walmart lately? You laugh because you know right where I'm going. You know, I walk in Walmart now and I think, do you sleep in the toilet paper aisle? You know, have you seen those clips on YouTube where people move the toilet paper and the paper towel and they climb behind there and go to sleep? Have you seen that? First of all, that's creepy. Yeah. Secondly, people go to Walmart and they look like they've been sleeping in Walmart. I mean, I meet them and I think, you know, are you kidding me? I know you like Mickey Mouse and I know you like Scooby-Doo, but I don't really want to see your pajamas. You know what I'm saying? You know, there are an awful lot of Christians who live like that. There are an awful lot of Christians who just taking it easy. Just kind of sitting back and relaxing. And Jesus will say here, hey, listen, because time is short, because eternity is near, because Jesus is coming soon, you need to wake up and see the seriousness of what's happening. And when you do, it's time to take your pajamas and get them off and put on your work clothes. Hey, God didn't call us just to sit in church. He called us to serve Him in church. He called us to tell the world about Him. He called us to do what is right. And you read all throughout the Scripture, time is short, eternity is long, Jesus is coming soon. And now He says, so therefore, wake up, put on your work clothes. Hey, listen, young person, God wants to use you. And maybe you're thinking, are you kidding? What can I do for God? You know, you will reach people that some of us in this room will never even meet. You will have an impact, some of you, where you go to school. Some of you where you work a job. Some of you with just the friends that you have. And you may think, hey, listen, I've got life ahead of me. Friends, you're not guaranteed that. What you are guaranteed is eternity is forever and Jesus is coming soon. So let's get out of our pajamas. Jesus says, wake up, and it's time to serve Jesus. Maybe some of you, you know what, there'd be nothing wrong with you starting to invite people to church. There'd be absolutely nothing wrong, contrary to popular opinion, for you to tell somebody about Jesus. There'd be nothing wrong for you going to your pastor or your youth leader and say, hey, listen, what can I do to serve Jesus? And by the way, if you ask Jesus to give you something to do to serve Him, I guarantee you He will give you something. Don't just sit back and, oh, well, you know, I got heaven. This is great. Hey, listen, time is getting short. We have much to do. So He's saying, put on your work clothes. Here's how He describes it. He says in this verse, put off the works of darkness. All right, what is that pajama illustration? What is that referring to? Put off the works of darkness. In other words, He's saying you cannot please a holy God when you hold on to your sin. That's what He's saying. Put off the works of darkness. He describes just a few in the next verse. Notice what He says, verse number 13. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day. He says, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Here's what He's saying. He's saying, very simply, in all of these combined into one thing, stop living for self. Chambering, what you do in the bedroom. Wantonness, selfishness. He goes on and He will talk about strife and envying. You know why we have problems between us and other people? Because we're selfish. We want what we want the way we want it. You know what? If we put God first and just chose to do what He wanted, that would make a difference in the world for Christ. Rather than what we wanted. You read in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 12. You read how that if we have sin in our life, no man can see the Lord. You read in this passage that He says, put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. You say, what does that mean?
Well, I used to have the idea that he's referring to the next verse about Jesus and just simply putting on Jesus. But if that were so, then he's repeating himself in two verses. I've come to realize that that's not what he's doing. What he's doing is giving the impact of what happens when you put on Jesus. He uses this phrase. He says, put on the armor of light. Is there a difference between pajamas and armor? Absolutely. And remember, who is Paul writing to in this passage? What's the name of the book? Okay, so he's writing to the people at Rome. By the way, the Christians that live in Rome completely, totally, and fully understand what Paul is referring to right here. He's speaking of soldiers that are wearing armor. By the way, if you were a Christian in the city of Rome, you saw soldiers all the time. And they weren't just any nonchalant soldiers. These were considered the greatest soldiers ever known to earth. These soldiers are still considered some of the greatest military geniuses of all time. You look at some of their military tactics, and still to this day, some of our generals are applying those military tactics. If you just study the soldiers of Rome, you will find that they had several different tactics, one of them being this. They would take their shields. These shields would not be something small, but they would be something large. They would be wider than the breadth of their shoulders. Usually, they would be just shy of how tall the man was. So these were huge pieces of armor. And then they would have this idea, this actual tactic that they would use before going into battle. They would take their shield and they would shine it until their shield looked like a mirror. And they could stand there and see their complete reflection in their shield. I think, well, that's a pretty shiny piece of metal. Then they would take this shield into battle. They would march like this, if you follow military history, they would march like this in the battle. When they would get into position, here's what they do. They would take their shield, they'd stick it in the ground, and then they would angle their shield to catch the sunlight. When the shield would catch the sunlight, they would then angle the shield so that the sunlight would bounce off of their shield and directly into the eyes of the enemy. Talk about blinding. You say, what's the point? Paul's using an illustration. And he is saying this. Time is short. Jesus is coming soon. And if you don't wake up, you cannot make an impact for Jesus Christ. But if you do, and if you wake up God's way, and if you choose to live life that pleases God, then you can accurately and biblically and pleasing to God, you can reflect God off of you to the world. Doesn't he say in the book of Matthew, your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Some of you, maybe I should rephrase that, many of us live life for self. Oh, we've heard preaching this week, and many of us have made decisions, but in reality, many of us, because we live in our flesh, and many times we choose flesh, what happens is we just simply walk back into the flesh to do what we want to do. People can't see Jesus when we do that. The world can't be affected. Hey, listen, do you remember in the Gospels, do you remember the disciples? Let's take Judas out for a minute and throw in the other guy. Do you remember those 12? Do you remember what the Bible will talk and say about those men after Jesus has gone into heaven? It'll say that they go abroad spreading the gospel, and then it will use this phrase, and they turned the world upside down. Young person, you can turn the world upside down when you let God turn you inside out. In other words, when you let God touch you and you determine, you choose to depend on Jesus and just trust and obey Him. What's it going to take for the world to change? Are you ready?
I'm convinced of this. Like the old preacher used to say, all it will take is one person completely committed to God to change the world. You realize this? If you had one person in this room that just let God set them on fire and choose to trust and obey God, you could change your church. You could change your community. You could change your state, America, and the world. You say, well, that seems very prideful. No. Completely committed to God means you let God work through you. You let God do it. Hey, what if we had five in this room that just said, I'm going to completely commit to Jesus Christ? Yes, maybe we could go back to history and say, maybe we could have people like, I don't know, Hudson Taylor in this room. Maybe we could have somebody like D.L. Moody. Maybe we could have a song leader like Ira Sankey who walked with God. Maybe we could have people like that. Wait, those are not great people. Those are people just like you and me who determined to serve a great God. That's it. And God used them. And you go in this passage and Paul says, listen, time is short. Jesus is coming soon. We have work to do. Because at the end of time, when we stand before God, number one, we'll give an account. And number two, the opportunity for those to trust Christ is over. You realize this when Jesus returns? Those who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ will never again be given an opportunity to trust Christ. Young person, people that you know that are lost, they're headed to hell. And if Jesus were to come right now, they would not have another opportunity. They're doomed. You know, I like to talk about heaven and I like to think about heaven. When I think about heaven when I'm here on this property, I think of a young man who came several years ago who's now in heaven. And I think of seeing Kamal in heaven one day and I think, man, that's going to be special. I think of heaven and I think, man, the street of gold, seeing the face of Jesus. I think of heaven and I think of all that is in heaven, the mansions and the tree of life and the river that runs through heaven and the jewels and the people from the Bible that we see. And I think, wow, that's going to be a wonderful place. You know, when I was growing up in Sunday school, I would oftentimes hear this. I would hear, in heaven, there's no sickness, there's no pain, and there are no tears. But I've come to study my Bible and realize that one of those is not true. Believe it or not, there are tears in heaven. You say, oh, Brother Glenn, no. Read your Bible. It is not until the last chapter that tears are finally wiped away. Oh, when you get to heaven, tears are wiped away. But then something happens in heaven that all of God's people will see. And because they see it, God must wipe away their tears one more time. Something called the Great White Throne, where we as God's people will see the people that we knew, the people that we had a chance to give the gospel to. We will see them condemned to die forever in the lake of fire. We'll see that. But young person, God's given us a job to do now. God says, listen, I give you my son Jesus, not just for heaven, but for living. In the last verse in Romans 13, notice what it says. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, he's saying, you remember those works of darkness? Don't live there. And the only way not to live there is to follow Jesus. So put on Jesus. You say, how do you do that? I mean, do you go out and purchase something like Jesus? Maybe I'll wear a cross. Oh, okay, an empty cross. Okay. Maybe I'll get it. Hey, listen. When he says put on Jesus, he's saying the same way you trusted Jesus for heaven is how you trust him
to serving. Young person, you can't please God without Jesus. That's why it's time to stay close to Jesus. You say, how do I walk with Jesus? We heard it the other night. Get in the Word of God. Choose to die to self, tie yourself up. Choose to follow Him. You say, what's the big deal? Time's getting short. You're not guaranteed of tomorrow. We're not guaranteed of 5 years from now. Some of you, you won't make it to 30. You say, Brother Glenn, are you trying to scare us? No. I think Paul's trying to say, you need to understand time's short. We have much to do for Jesus. So, wake up! It's almost too late. So in this passage, what do you see? You see the calling to the Christian, wake up. You see the clothing of the Christian, not the works of darkness, but Jesus Christ. You see the clarity of the Christian, I need to walk with Jesus so other people can see Jesus. And the career of the Christian says, I'm not just going to choose to do it one time, maybe another time when I feel like it, but I'm going to choose not to walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit so I can serve, please a holy God, because time is short and there's much to do for Jesus. Some of you have heard preaching on surrender this week. And he said, okay, great. Maybe when I get older, I'll do something for God. That's not surrender. Surrender is a willingness to do anything and then obedience in everything. Surrender doesn't start later. It starts right now. Okay, my hands off. I'll follow Jesus. I'll choose Jesus. I'll get in the Word. I'll obey Jesus. I'll tie self up. I'll live for Jesus. I'll let Jesus live through me. Young person, it's getting short. It's getting serious. It's almost too late. Can I say this, and we'll be done? If time were to end today, and you were to stand before Jesus, what regrets would you have? I think we would all have regrets, especially if we're standing before the one who died for us. We'd all have regrets. Oh, I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd made this decision. I wish I'd chosen this. I wish I would have told this person. I wish I would have just depended on Jesus to do it instead of me trying to do it and failing every time. I wish. You know, I have stood at many, many bedsides of dying people. Either just me personally or me with pastors that we're with throughout the year. And I have stood by the bedside and heard many, many regrets of what people did not do for Jesus. But I have never been in a bedside where I have heard someone say, I regret following Jesus. I've never heard it. I have read recently about a young man, 29 years old, who just chose to serve God, and God blessed his ministry among the Indians. I read about a young man who goes to China to serve God, and he never even makes it there, but the impact that God used from that young man has touched people all over the world. You know what that young man chose? He chose to give up a family fortune called Borden to just serve Jesus. In each of my Bibles, I have this written from his Bible that he had written. It says this, no reserves. Jesus has all. No retreats. I won't change my mind because Jesus didn't. No regrets. Because there's no regrets when you just live in light of eternity and follow Jesus. Young person, it's almost too late. What are you wearing? Are you woke up or are you still asleep? Time's short. Eternity's long. Jesus is coming soon.